children and you making church. Blessing him, helping him, encouraging him, providing everything he needs. This time, we're going to share what he prepared through his mouth. While he prayed and prayed, prepared the word, he fully shared with us, and we open our hearts and we fully observe what he experienced with the word. And so we take the word, and with the word we live with the word and bless us. I pray in the name of Jesus.
Okay, so we will do a, I'll probably skip some stuff here for time's sake. I am going to pass around some scriptures for you guys. We're in Psalm 15. You can open there. And you can pass that way. Memorize that verse, those two verses this week from Psalm 15, and in your language and English if you wish. All right, Psalm 15. I was going to start with a discussion, but we're going to skip the discussion. All I want you to think about is when you invite people to stay in your house, what kind of people you invite to stay in your house. Friends, relatives, enemies? No, not really, right? You want someone. If you're inviting them over, you need to trust them, right? They're going to be in your house. Okay, kings and rulers. So who gets to stay in the White House? Probably friends of the president get to stay there. They get to stay overnight. Or in the Blue House. Who gets to stay in the Blue House? Or who gets to stay with Xi Jinping in his home? Probably not his critics. He's not going to invite them over and say, hey, come have dinner with me, hang out, let's eat. Okay, Psalm 15. It's a Psalm of David. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Sojourn means who shall stay briefly, stay for a short time. That's what sojourn means. Who gets to stay for a while in your tent, God? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart. Who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out his money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. This psalm is a question and an answer. You have to think of it that way. Verse 1 is the question. Lord, who gets to stay at your place? Who gets to live on your holy hill? The first word, sojourn, is for a short time. The second word, dwell, is for a long time. It's like the difference between a guest and a resident. So who's coming over to God's house? That's the question. The rest of the psalm is the answer. This is who gets to stay with God. So it's He who walks blamelessly and does what is right, that's who gets to stay with God. And that's a general statement. That sort of encompasses everything in your life. If you walk blamelessly, you live in holiness. And then he fleshes it out with some specifics as he goes through. No slander. You treat your neighbors. You're not evil to them. You don't hate your friends. You honor what God honors. You despise what God despises. You handle your money with integrity. You're honest. He who does these things will never be moved. That's how the psalm ends. Because you'll be with God. Now, so who gets to stay at God's house? This kind of person gets to stay at God's house. That's the psalm. Now, God's a ruler. And the rulers, the earthly rulers, if you did get to stay at their house, wouldn't it be cool to go to the White House and stay a night in the White House? I think that would be I would love that. I'd love to go in there, and I mean, there's a sort of glory to the White House, right? And I'd love it. Well, the glory of God and the glory of God's house would put the glory of the White House to shame. We think it'd be a wonderful thing to stay in the resident of whoever the president of your country is. But as a believer, you have the privilege of staying with God. That's so much better than going to the Blue House. In fact, I bet the president of your country would love to go to God's house. He may not think that way. But if he were to go, he would be amazed, the president of your country. And so God says, these are the people who will see that glory, the people who will live with God forever. Let's look at these verses, the 2-5, a little bit. I'm not going to preach every single verse here. But everything, if you look at it, everything deals with how you live. Right? Everything. It's just different aspects of your life that this psalm is talking about. And so verse 2 is a general statement. Verses 3-5 get specific. But God is looking for holiness in people. He wants that. You know why? Because God is holy. He wants us to be like him. And his place is a holy place. Look at verse 1. Who may dwell in your holy hill? The place where God is a holy place because he is holy. And so the question is, who can live with holiness? Who gets to come to the holy place? He who is holy. That's who gets to come there. This psalm, it combats the idea, I'll call it cheap Christianity. I'm reading a book, I'm reading a biography right now, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer would have called it cheap grace. That was his term for this. It's the idea that you know what we're talking about. You've seen people who say they're Christians but don't live as if they're Christians. It's just a label that they put on their face. But it doesn't change their life. This psalm says, who gets to live with God? And everything deals with their life, not the label on your face. In other words, this is saying that the Christians aren't the people necessarily who have the labels on their face, although a Christian will identify as such. But a Christian is somebody who actually lives a Christ-like life. There's a difference between somebody who's real and somebody who's not. And you know how Jesus talked about hypocrites all the time? He never considered the hypocrites to be his followers. He said things like, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but not do the things that I say?" Jesus said that. And so there are people who say, "He's my Lord, he's my Lord," but they don't do what he says. You've seen these people before. They're in Korea. They're in Indonesia. They're in America. And so the Bible is very clear about who gets to be with God. And it's people for whom faith has penetrated their lives. Real faith touches you deeply. If it doesn't penetrate to the depths of your heart, it's not faith. Christianity is not a set of intellectual beliefs. Oh, yeah, I believe that stuff about God. And yeah, Jesus, he died, I know that. That's not what Christianity is. It's not a set of rituals, like, you know, baptism and communion, and we do those things, but that's not really what Christianity is. It's so much deeper than that stuff. You know what Christianity is? It's a new life. That's what baptism is, just a picture of a new life. Old you, new you. And so this psalm is a picture of a new life. And so if we say, "I have faith in Christ," but we never change our lives, I don't really think you have faith in Christ. Jesus said a tree is known by its fruit, right? You can tell an apple tree because it has apples on it. It grows apples. Cherry trees grow cherries. Oak trees have oak leaves. And so you look at the tree, and you can tell what it is. Looks like some oak trees right over there. And so people are the same way. Jesus, you can tell a person by looking at the fruit. Does he have integrity? How is her tongue? You look at those kinds of things. Because they're important. Because when Christ comes inside, Christ changes us. And David is pointing to the fruit as evidence of this is the kind of person that's going to live with God. That's what David is doing. And then he goes through the list. Those who don't slander, you guys know what that means. We won't talk about that. We did talk yesterday at the dinner table about the internet and the comment boards on the internet. You know, probably half those comments are slander. Just be real careful. Guys, internet slander is slander. Don't go there. Gossip. A lot of gossip is slander. Where you're talking about so-and-so behind his back. Did you hear what Joel said yesterday about... You didn't really say anything. I just made that up. The next verse, who does no evil to his neighbor, takes up reproach against his friend. You love people. You're kind to people. A reproach is where you despise somebody. You don't despise your friend. Who in whose eyes, verse 4, a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. Who will dwell with God? The person who honors what God honors will dwell with God, and who despises what God despises will dwell with God. Um, One of the ways you can tell if somebody loves God is if they love God's people. Because God loves God's people. And if they love God's people, that's a good sign that maybe they love God. Maybe they have a real faith. And they hate sin. They look at their lives and they see sin in their lives and they hate it. That's a good sign when you hate your own sin. Or even when you hate sin, when you see it. I don't mean hate the sinner, but the sin itself, we should not like when we see it. Like last weekend, there was the white supremacy rally, right, in Charlottesville, Virginia. You guys, it's been all over the news. You can't miss it. Okay. No. I mean, as a Christian, no, you can't go there. That's sin. Here are people rallying for sin. That's... And as a believer, we need to hate that. There's nothing good about that. You mock God when you praise sin. You mock God when you praise sin. That means here in America, there's a contingent of people who call themselves Christians, who will say homosexuality is praiseworthy. They mock God. They're praising sin. They say it's justified. No, and I'm not, by the way, we need to love homosexual people and treat them kindly. And so I'm not talking about the people. But the behavior isn't godly. And we can't justify it. We can't go there. We can't praise it along with the rest of American culture. And so we love what God loves, but we don't love what God doesn't love. Next verse, verse 5. But other part, who swears to his own hurt and does not change. What that means is, you're a person who keeps your word. If you say you will do something, you do it, even if it hurts, because you said you would do it. It might cost you some money to do it, but you do it, because your word is important. What you say actually means something. If you say you'll do it and you don't do it because it costs you something, That's a lack of integrity in your word. That's what that's getting at. It's a sign that God is in you when you keep your word, even when it hurts. Verse 5 deals with money. You don't put out your money at interest. You don't take a bribe against the innocent. Those are both money issues. God's people, when God comes inside, He makes his people honest concerning money. That's important. You give freely. You don't use your money to take advantage of people. You don't take bribes. You know, there are cultures around the world where bribery is ingrained in the culture. It's part of the culture. If you want to get something done, bribery is sort of part of the business expense. You sort of have to factor in the bribe in order to get something done in a lot of countries. Indonesia is one of those countries. And I'm not familiar with your countries well enough to know, but it wouldn't surprise me if, in some of your countries too, this is a normal thing. What that shows is a culture that has rejected God, because that's not how God operates. When you do your job, you do it the same whether you're doing it for a rich person or a poor person. The client doesn't matter. Do your job. Just do your job. If you're going to give favors to rich people because they slip you $100 underneath the table, then there's something wrong inside. That's a heart issue. The behavior on the outside shows something that's going on in the inside. You know, a tree is known by its fruit. You can see the inside by looking on the outside. If you're in a culture like that, God would call you to come out of your culture, at least in that area. I'm not saying, you know, stop being who you are, still eat your foods and all that stuff, but on that area, that's something you have to consider coming out of. Be different. Show integrity with your money. And so David has given us a quick picture of a life that belongs to God. And he says, the end of verse 5, he who does these things will never be moved. The reason why is that these things, these behaviors, are just symptoms. They're symptoms of character. Godly character. They're symptoms of God in you. When God's in you, this is what it looks like. This is how you start to live. You can't do these things by doing them. Remember last week, Psalm 14? There is none who does good. No, not one. Not even one. In other words, on our own, we don't really live this way. We may be stronger in some areas than other areas. You know, everybody has their weaknesses and their strengths, right? But we're not good on our own. And so that's not how you do this stuff. And so if you think, I'm just going to go out and do this on my own, you're naive. You can't. You're not that strong. Psalm 15, this psalm is righteousness. This is what righteousness looks like. And the people who live in righteousness because God is inside them. And they will live with God. You know, who can dwell on my holy hill? These guys. They will live with God because God is already living in them. That's why they get to live with God, because God's in them. And they've been changed. And so Christ opens the door to the kind of life that Psalm 15 is giving you a picture of. The life that you see in Psalm 15 does not bring you to God. God brings you to this life. That's the way it works. We're saved by faith, not by works. Right? That's just Ephesians 2a. Paul said that. We're saved by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. But we still talk about works. It's just that God says good works do not bring salvation. We just don't think they save us. Christ does that. But that salvation then produces good works. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's Ephesians 2:10. That's just two verses after Ephesians 2:8. It says we're saved by grace through faith, not by works. But we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And so the Christ Jesus brings the works, not the other way around. And so if you know Christ, this psalm should show you a picture of the kind of life that God calls you to. And this is just this isn't everything. There are a lot of other areas that, you know, David could talk about. He's writing a song. And so this is a song. These are some areas he brings up. But Christ should be building in you this life. In other words, you're changing as you go. You've changed, but you're still changing. And that's normal. That's part of being a Christian. But this picture of this life is sort of what you're changing into. Because this is the kind of person that God likes. In verse 1, you see that you will live in the glory of God. In verse 5, you see that you'll never be moved. And we'll close with that. What time is it right now?
12:45.
Okay. Good. I was going to have us sing a song, but we'll skip the song. And so, let me...